Well, good morning, everyone. Everybody doing good? How's the form doing? Sometimes this can be the tougher times on the form because we had to carry water and everything else because you're bringing them in from the pasture and a lot of other things going on, feeding hay and whatnot. So, you know, it can get tough. It can really get tough at times. And but once you become a farmer, it gets in your blood. I don't know what happens, but it's like you just fall in love with it. While you're doing it and it's beating on you, you know, to do it because you're straining trying to get it all done, you kind of wonder at times, why am I doing this? But you wouldn't want to do anything else. So hang in there, guys. I know you love the farm. If you would turn with me, I hope we're in the right spot. I have two messages. One is 2 pages, the other is 5 pages. So we might be doing 7 pages today. So anyway, it is really good to be back with you. You know, it's good sometimes to get away because you get to see other perspectives of things. And we got to visit with relatives and different things. We had a pretty good visit, I guess. It went well. The only thing, you know, I try to talk to them about the Lord, and it just like, you ever talk to anybody and it just goes over their head? Oof. You know, it's like you almost didn't say, because they're not really there. They're not really interested. And that's what makes it so sad. So if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, but I want to start with verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, we ask that you would just teach us by your Holy Spirit. You would give us hearts, Lord, that would be eager to hear. And Father, our minds would be open only to you, to hear your word and to receive your truth that will indeed revive us and change our minds. And Lord, that it will build life within us. So we thank you. Thank you for this time, Lord, that we as saints in your name can gather together. What power and comfort and love that can be. Thank you, Father, for it. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell Lucy I really do miss her. You know, I was looking forward for her to be here as well this morning. So I always miss her. She's always encouraging. And so anyway, that knee better get healed fast so she can be back. But in verse 7 it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Folks, y'all see what's going on in the world today, how hard President Trump is working and how God is working through him trying to make things right. And I just can't believe sometimes all of the people that are against what he's trying to do. And so we can see how it's changed now. It used to not be this way. It used to be right was right, good was good, bad was bad. But now it's all swapped around. Now good is bad and bad is good. How people can think and comprehend that, but their minds get affected by the things of the world and by the enemy. So he goes on to say, he says, the end of all things is at hand. I do believe the rapture is very soon. And that's not to scare anyone. But it's like, I believe what Jesus said, he said, be ready. Paul preached, be ready. You know, don't let the bad things of the world and the disappointments that we might have, and folks, we pray for healing for our loved ones and it seems like it's not quite working. But what we're going to do is we've got to stand and just trust God. You see, he's not a person like us that we do our best and we promise people things, but there's times that we promise so much that we just can't do it. We try hard and we want the best, but it's sometimes we can't do something we just can't do. But God is not in that fix. He's not in that box at all. See, all that he promises, he can do. And he will do if we hold on to the faith. Folks, we pray, we trust God with it, we believe him, and we just turn it over to him. You know, it says that when you pray, pray until you get peace. When you get peace over a matter, then you can say, all right, God's got it. Because that peace is coming when the Lord says, okay, it's okay. You may not have heard any words or anything, but it's just something that comes on you. And it's like, it's okay. It's just okay. And that's where we need to get in that place. Because we've got a God who cares and loves us. All he asks for you, in fact, Jesus says, he says that if you can believe, all things are possible. But see, in that believing, we need to learn how to walk and to trust God in it. Amen. We don't go doing our thing and throwing everything else to happenstance. You got to stand true to the Lord. Lord, I love you and I want to serve you. And I trust you with this circumstance and the things that are going on now. And so our minds are stayed on him, knowing that he's a rewarder of those that really diligently seek him. But it goes on to say, it says, since you know things are at hand, he says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, what's he talking about there? Folks, there's a lot of people today who really don't take a lot of things serious. We think, well, it's always been that way, so it's always going to be that way. But we're living in a time now that we're coming to the end of the end times, And the Lord's saying, folks, we got to get serious about where we're at and what we're doing. You know, on vacation, we went to visit this friend of ours who asks sometimes for a lot of advice but never takes it. Well, she takes it but then kind of files it away. You know what I'm saying? And so their life is a wreck. Well, they were telling me, or she was telling us, how bad her church is. And we went to visit some other people, and he was wanting to start a church Bible group at his home. And so she wanted us to meet him and his wife. And of course, he's one who is very skeptic about a lot of people. So he wanted to really get some information from me, because she had told him a little bit about me and that. So here we go. I'm going in, and we have breakfast with him. And right away, he asked me different questions. Well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And so we get in and dialogue and talk. And he's in agreement. I said, yeah, I see that too. Yeah, that's what I believe. And, you know, I'm just sharing the word and what I believe and what I know the word says. And so we become great friends. You know, and I see God working in his life, so I encouraged him in it, and his wife, and my wife was there. She's always there in case I start talking too much, and then I start getting bruising, because she'll kick me under the table. And I know that means a shut up, but we didn't have any of that. It all went very well. But then, as she always tells us how bad the church, and she even started there with him. Oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. And I'm like, Debbie, shut up. You know, I know things aren't going right, but keep your mouth off of it, especially that kind of mouth. Folks, don't criticize. That's one thing we need to learn to do. Keep your mouth shut. If you don't like something, tough, shut up. Don't speak stuff like that into existence or fan the flame and make it worse. Amen? You got to learn to pray about it. You open your mouth to God. And that's why he says, get serious. Things aren't right anywhere hardly anymore. But he says, get serious about it and pray. So anyway, she told the pastor there that I was coming, that Charlene and I were coming to visit, and right away he said, well, he's coming to the church. He's going to be here Wednesday night. He said he might as well lead the service. And she told me he would say that because that's just what he does. And so we led the Bible study there. Was happy to do that. Lord gave me a word for him. But my prayer was, is God, let him see that you're still big and true to your word. And Lord, that as we follow you and share your word, that there's an anointing in that that encourages and gives strength to the hearer. And that was my prayer. So I went in there and got to share with them, and Holy Spirit moved in such a way you just wouldn't believe it. We fell in love with them. You know, as bad as Debbie said they were, and poor Debbie, hurting the way she is, she was at the end of the table. And the look she gave, if looks could kill, it would have destroyed all of them. I've never seen that on her face, just this, the anger and the bitterness that was there. And so when it was over, she left right away, and now they wanted to talk with us. And every couple minutes, they're shaking our hands, or they're just crowding around us and excited. My wife, you know, she doesn't say a lot sometimes, but what she says really gets people. And so she's talking, and they're starting to see why I'm the way I am, because I got good backup. And then she says at the end, she says, "Pastor, can we pray for you?" You know, sometimes people won't let you pray for them. And he kind of stuttered a little bit, and he said, "Well, okay, yeah." So she grabbed his hand, and we all extended our hands, and she prayed a beautiful prayer on him. And he was touched, and so was everybody else there. But we got to share with him for maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes after. Because, see, he wanted to leave at a certain time, which was 30 minutes earlier. We're late everywhere. But it's like he didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave us. He didn't really, I don't know if they really wanted us to go, to leave. And so we talked a little bit more in that. And the pastor grabbed my hand and shook it there at the end. And he says, "If you ever get another word from God," he says, "you come on a Sunday." See, they're on YouTube. And, well, not YouTube, but they're on the internet. And he says, you get a word of God. And he says, "you come here on a Sunday." And he says, "I want you to preach." He says, "Anytime you come, you got the pulpit." And I said, "Wow, thank you." But folks, I'm telling you, this is how God works and what God does. See, they're not really serious about anything. It's like that's the way it always is, and they don't see much hope. They just had a church split, so they're hurting. And I know they needed mercy and they needed love. They needed someone to show a little compassion to them rather than pointing out all their faults, because they hear that all the time. That when Charlene and I went, we wanted to be serious about what God wanted. Want to be serious in our prayers. We're wanting lives to be changed and hearts to be revived in the Lord. And I believe at that time they were very encouraged. Romans 13:11 says this. It says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So, folks, we need to awaken. Any of us that are kind of sleeping and lackadaisy about things, we need to get serious about what the Lord wants. Because it's time. Folks, we've been waiting well over 2,000 years now for the coming of the Lord. And so we are definitely closer than what we were. Amen. We're like over 2,000 years closer, but it's so close it could be tonight. But anyway, we got a lot of work to do, a lot of things we need to do, and it's exciting just to be used by the Lord and called by the Lord, and then making yourself available to the Lord to be used. And see, he'll use you. Gladly use you if we let him. But we've got to be willing to do that. Verse 8, and it says, "And above all things," that's in our text, 1 Peter, "and above all things have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sin." Doesn't mean it takes it away. See, we have to get forgiveness from God. Amen. But what covers that multitude of sin is our love. Our love for someone who is a problem child. our love for those that are walking in sin and really don't think that they're doing anything wrong right now. Or, yeah, I would like to change, but. And so love will cover a multitude of sin. And so I kind of looked that up. Lord, I need some scripture here. So he gave me Proverbs 10:12, where it says, hatred stirs up strife. You know, you can always tell everybody where their mistakes are, right? You don't see your own, but you do see everybody else's. Did you ever notice that? It says, but love covers all sins. It's that I love you in spite of. It's not condoning it. You don't want to do that. But it's loving a person in spite of all of their faults. Because that love could break through and they say, wow, everybody else hates me, but you don't. What's different? Well, see, what I have is, and I see God's love for you. Well, God doesn't love me. Well, sure he does. No, he doesn't. I'm a mistake. I do everything wrong. I can't do anything right. God would love me. Yeah, God loves you. See, that's a start of getting them to come to God for their repentance and changing their lives. That's why it says love can change and cover a multitude of sin. You know, you don't usually need to point out everybody's sin. I think most people know it pretty well already. And probably a few, maybe quite a few more than maybe you even know. So we got to kind of learn to keep our mouth off of it and learn how to love in spite of. Folks, there's a lot that God wants to do in this church. See, yeah, we have faults. I don't mean to break your bubble, but we all have faults. Amen. They're just there. We try hard, but yet we have faults. But we're a people that really wants to hear about God. We really want to know, God, where are you taking us? Where do you want us to go? You know, it's like in believing. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I'm kind of touching on the other message a little bit, but that's all right. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and then lean not on your own understanding. You know, it says, trust in the Lord, trust it, but the way we take it is understand the Lord, and then we can believe. Do you ever notice that? We got to understand most everything. Well, if I don't understand about the giftings and the gifts and the different things that the Holy Spirit has for me, then I'm afraid of them or I refuse to accept them. And I'm just not going to go there. Amen? That's where we're at, or a lot of people are. But folks, I want to tell you that I'm so glad that God brought me to the part. See, not being the smartest in the woodshed or the sharpest tool, you know, pretty rusty, really, that I've learned to really trust God without knowing everything. See, I know how big my God is and how smart my God is, and I know my God will take care of me. And I know that I don't have to understand everything. See, I use my computer and I do not really understand anything about it. I can't write a program. There's so much that I don't know about it. In fact, I know less about it than what I don't know about it. But a lot of us, we get to where, well, how does that work? Well, what is that? Well, I don't want that, man. I'm afraid of that. And it's like, no, that's why it says, trust. It doesn't say believe the Lord. It says trust the Lord. And so that way we need to really learn about, all right, Lord, you said it. I believe it. I may not understand it yet, but God, you're in control. I trust you. I'll go with it. Amen? Isn't that where we should be? And so God is wanting to use our little church here to really touch lives and hearts. And I think a lot of times we may not understand how he's even going to do that. Well, for one individual, he had no idea anything was going to happen that day, and especially downstairs during dialogue, that Jesus would come into his life. See, this is what it's all about. It's learning to trust God. It's getting serious about who we are and really who God is in us. There's so much more to all of it. We're experiencing a lot of answered prayer, a lot of healing, a lot of different moves of God. In fact, we're not the same as what we used to be. We've all changed. Some more than others. But at least we've started. You know, I hate to... Sometimes you have dry periods where it doesn't seem God's doing a whole lot. That's why, in the fall, this is about time to start planting wheat and all of that stuff. You want to get that in and get it growing just before winter sets in totally. Like to have a couple of inches on it where it grows. But I go out and plant, and it's like the next day I go check it out. Anything growing yet? Dig in there and look. Ah, the seed hasn't swollen yet, so it's not started to germinate. Boy, we should hurry up. Go up in the next day and the next day. See, we get anxious. We want to see progress. We want to see things happening. But a lot of times, sometimes we just got to set with God. See, we're that seed. Sometimes it takes a while before it kind of swells and gets ready to run that root out and then shoot that stem up when we come out of the ground. Folks, we've started that. But when it seems like God is doing nothing, that's when he's doing a whole lot. Let me tell you, he knows what he's doing and how to do it. And that's why sometimes maybe where you were, then all of a sudden, after 3 or 4 days or a week or two or a month or so, something is said that, oh, okay, well, that's what that means. Ever been there? Are you reading God's word and then it just opens up? Well, I've read that how many times? And I never seen it that way before? Wow. So don't get down and put yourself down when it seems like nothing's happening. God is true. He's faithful. He hasn't abandoned you. You just need to make sure you continue to trust him and that you're determined to walk with him. Folks, we need to get serious. I'm serious about my walk. I'm really serious. You see, I know that I can mess up. And God can't use me to the way I want him to. So I try to be very cautious. I let people speak into my life. So I can kind of see where I'm at. I see the effects of my walk and my talk and the things that I do with other people. I love building people up, not tearing them down, but encouraging. I've my grandson and granddaughters, great-granddaughters, were at the house yesterday. And Brandon's wife was there, Annette, and we were talking about things. And Alex, his best friend he went to school with, has some sort of cancer as well. And a lot of problems there. But anyway, he's done some treatments and he didn't have insurance. Wow, didn't have any insurance. And Alex is, I think, maybe 24, 25. He has 3 children, I believe. And Alex was one that didn't really want to know anything about God, could care less, couldn't talk to him about it, just didn't mean anything. Well, Brandon was telling me that a couple of people from Harbor Light that know Alex had a fundraiser in Harbor Springs to raise money to help pay for his medical expenses. And so, of course, he went there, and he was very grateful for that. Well, now he's going to Harbor Light because these people were from Harbor Light, and they did this for him, and so he's appreciative. Well, now he's in the church, and now he's hearing about the Lord, and he's starting to change. The whole time Brandon knew him, nothing was ever happening with Alex to draw him to the Lord. No matter what was said or done, he was offensive, basically, to it. I even told Brandon, I said, Brandon, I'd love to go and pray for Alex sometime. Ask him if he would let me. He wouldn't. But now he would. See, when you think nothing's happening, God's at work. But he's trying to keep us serious about the work that we're doing or need to be doing. Because it seems like, why try? It doesn't really matter anyway. Well, that's a lie that the enemy wants to lull you asleep with and pull you away from the task that's at hand. Folks, we've got to get serious. God's dead serious. And so is the devil. And he'll take over your life and destroy your life and your family's life. Because he hates you. And he's very serious about conquering you and destroying you. But God, on the other hand, is even more serious to drawing you to him, to saving you, and to taking you to heaven with him. But don't think God isn't working because you don't see anything happening. Because it's happening. Amen? We just need to wake up and smell the roses or the lilacs. You see, God can even do the impossible with the lilacs. All the leaves are coming off my lilac bushes. They don't like the cold. And they sure aren't blooming. Maybe we ought to go find that bush and dig it up. Folks, remember, God loves you and he's going to use you, but you got to stay faithful. Get serious about your walk. Kids, serious. God, you said. That's where I get, God, you said. You said it. And I'm holding you to it. Get serious. Father, thank you for your word. Bless your people now. Help us to get serious, Lord, about your word and all that you've called us to. Let us never get up, give up, and fall asleep. Father, you're so good. Your word is so precious, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read our blessing over us. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.